Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a little bit more praise this morning before you sit down. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Pastor Brad. Pastor Brad, you put the stud in Bible study. You really do. Welcome to City Hope. Thank you so much for being here. I truly believe that, we're in the middle of a movement. God is up to some really cool things here at City Hope, and I love that you're here. I love that you're with us today, and just want to, man, our whole mission is to invite everyday people like me and you to experience the hope of Jesus, and that's what I want today. I don't want you to experience me. I want you to walk out of here knowing that you spent time with Jesus, and I just want to give God some praise. I've been so excited all week. You know, last week being Easter, it's kind of the Super Bowl for churches, right? And we got to talking, and we did our debrief and everything like normal, and so we went back and looked. You know, this is our third Easter together as a church, and in 2022, we were just baby. We were like, 4 months old, and in 2022, we had 201 people show up for Easter in 2022, which was cool, right? 4 months old, 200 people, we're the biggest church in the world, right? And then last year, 2023, we had, I don't know if you remember, the calendar fell where Easter was kind of like right on spring break, and a lot of people were gone, but we had 240 people last year for Easter, so we were like, hey, that's amazing. Well, we didn't know what to expect this year. We added a third service for the first time, and I want to tell you guys, we had 427 people last week. Glory to God. Like, thank you, Lord. I mean, it's just amazing what God's doing. And today, here in a little bit at 10:30, and you have to stay, all right? It's required that you stay. We're going to have 11 people get baptized outside here in just a little bit. No, we would love for you to stay. You don't have to, all right? We'll just make fun of you. But it's okay. We had, I wasn't there, but I heard the women had a fantastic first gathering yesterday morning. And we got to get a better speaker, but next time, I'm just kidding. It was my wife. She's amazing. I'm really not mean. I promise. But man, God's just doing some amazing, amazing things. And I want to encourage you. I want to, give you a little bit of excitement here. And at the end of this month, I'm going to speak on the 28th. And I'm going to just cast some vision that I feel like God's leading us into the future. And he's given us some steps to take. And we're still praying, man. We're praying every day. God, we would love to have a permanent home. But if you want us to stay here, we'll do it. God, just give us some vision. And I feel like he has. And so I want to encourage you to come to that. I believe he's given us some next steps for our church. For his church, right? This is his church. I get to hold the microphone, but this is his. Everything's his. And we're just so thankful. And if you, this is one of your first times and you want to get to know more about City Hope, we've designed this process called The Loop. And it's just a three-step process for you to understand who we are and what we're all about and where we're going and what we want from you. And so get into The Loop. Class 3 is today during the second service and for the next couple weeks. And so we would just, man, just jump in with us. And I know that you'll be blessed because there's some really, really, really good people here. So we're kicking off a brand new series today entitled My Why. My Why. And I'm so excited about this series because I believe that every single one of you in this room has a purpose. You have a divine purpose from the Lord. You have a why in your life. God has a vision for your life, and it's up to us to seek him and figure out what that why is. As a matter of fact, I was studying this week, and there's a study that came out in 2021 that says 80% of Americans believe that there's an ultimate purpose and plan for everyone's life. Most people would believe that, yes. Like we're not just here to take up space, right, and breathe. There's a plan and there's a purpose for my life. 57% of those people said they think about it at least once a month. At least once a month, I think about my plan, my purpose. What, God, why am I here? 21% of Americans say they think about this daily or weekly. Why? Because having a purpose, it provides a plan for our life, right? It provides a path. It helps us understand where we're going. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to jump into the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bible or your phone or iPad, whatever, go to Nehemiah. It's kind of in the front of the Bible towards the beginning of the Old Testament. But we're going to jump in to Nehemiah. And this whole story of Nehemiah is just a phenomenal, phenomenal book of the Bible. And it's framed around building, it's framed around restoring, and it's framed around this leader named Nehemiah. And it's just a phenomenal book that I think God can really use to speak to our heart. A lot of really practical things. In the middle of Nehemiah's story, Nehemiah is standing atop of this completion of this massive project. God gave him a project. God gave him a plan. And in the middle of the book, we see that he's rebuilt this city walls around Jerusalem. I'm just going to read these first two verses to you and just listen to these. This is Nehemiah chapter 6. Don't turn there. Stay in Nehemiah 1. All right. The wall was completed in 52 days. And on the 25th day of the month of Elul, when all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. This was an incredible accomplishment, right? And I'm kind of skipping ahead, then we're going to go back and look through it. But this is crazy because the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down for years. Some say even decades possibly. And so these walls were down. Many people had attempted to rebuild these walls and nobody could make it happen. And we see this massive undertaking took place in only 52 days. Only 52 days. But this is just this is kind of the end of the story. This is not the beginning. Where our story begins is in Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, as I was reading that, you know, 52 days, that's crazy. It reminded me of this card game that many of you have probably played, all right? And my dad used to, when we would you know, hang out or whatever, he'd say, hey, you want to play a card game? I'm like, yeah. He goes, let's play 52 card pickup, right? And I'm like, man, this is fun. Thanks, Dad. Like, what a fun game, right? And I was reminded of that. This wall was rebuilt in 52 days. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I came in here this morning, and what I was going to have built is this nice, cool card tower. Like, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt, right? And it's impossible to build a card tower in a church building. I don't know why. And maybe the cards are just bad. But anyways, these walls are shattered. These walls are laying around like 52 card pickup. There's rubble. It's just everywhere. Nobody really knows what to do. And for years and years and years, this has been the case. And then we pick up this story about Nehemiah. And we find Nehemiah in a really good place. We find him in a really healthy place. And he's in this royal court when this divine disturbance shows up. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 2. Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived with men from Judah. I questioned them about Jerusalem and the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile. Nehemiah's from Jerusalem. He's asking these guys that are visiting, hey, what's going on back home? How's everybody doing? Verse 3, they said to me, the remnant in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down. Its gates have been burned. Verse 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of the heavens. Life is good for Nehemiah when we start off in Nehemiah chapter 1. Back home, things are real bad. Back home, things are tough. And Nehemiah has this divine disturbance in his life. Now, let me just pause here and say this. Divine disturbances often reveal something deeper happening in our life. Something deeper is going on. And you can probably think back in your life when there was some divine disturbances. And maybe it was a decision that you made or someone made against you. Maybe it was just something that happened that was totally out of your control. But you can look back and you can see that was a divine disturbance in my life. And how did I react? Look at Nehemiah. He sits down and he starts crying, the Bible says. And although it looks like Nehemiah might be collapsing a little bit here under the weight of this moment, what he's actually doing is he's starting to build something else entirely. Look at verse 5. I said, this is Nehemiah praying, Lord, the God of heavens, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your ears be open, let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer. I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. Let me ask you a question today, church. What do you do when divine disturbances come up in your life? When a divine disturbance, when something that God's doing shakes the core of who you are, your family, your fiber, what do you do in those moments? Nehemiah did not waste a moment here. He didn't waste a moment. The Bible says he sits down, he weeps, he mourns, he fasts, and he prays. He weeps, he mourns, he fasts and his prays. Immediately, his first reaction was to go directly to the Lord in prayer. And this is why today, and we're going to be unpacking this over the next few weeks, purpose confirmed by prayer is essential before you take any steps of faith. Purpose, we all have it. We all want to know what it is. We all want to know why. But confirmed by prayer is essential before you take any steps of faith. He took all of this to the Lord and he felt certain for God's purpose for him. He went straight to the Lord and his prayer continues in verse 6. I confess the sins we have committed against you. So here he is. He's praying for his family. He's praying for his country people. God, we've sinned. We've messed up. All of us have messed up. Both I and my father's family have sinned. We have acted corruptly towards you and have not kept the commands, the statutes, and ordinance you gave your servant Moses. And then look at this. He kind of shifts. Please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. So here's Nehemiah praying, and he's trying to remind God of something that God said, and this is scripture. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the furthest horizons, I will gather them from there, bring them to the place where I have chose to have my name dwell. See, his prayer was different. His prayer had a little bit of elements of human-centered prayer, right? We all have that. God, you know, bless my needs and my family and keep me safe and give me this and I want that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. And Nehemiah had that element. But ultimately, his prayer was God-centered. I mean, he's quoting scripture. He's reminding God of the scripture that God himself wrote. And I think what we understand here as Nehemiah's prayer in the middle of this divine disturbance is purpose built on God's promise never fails. When you and I have a purpose that's built on God's promises, it's never going to fail. But when it's built on the things that I can do and my knowledge and my wisdom and my skills and my gifts, then it probably won't last. Building your purpose on God's promises is always gonna last. Let me ask you this. What's your purpose built on? 52 card pickup, there's no real right way or wrong way to do this, right? You just pick them up. You just pick them up and you put them back in, you know, maybe all facing the same way, and it depends on how OCD you are, if you want all the red ones together or the black ones, however you want to do it. But what's your purpose built on? Do you just grab onto whatever's around? Do you just grab on to whatever you can get your hands on? And yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I have this job, and this job is my purpose. This is my identity, and so this is my purpose. But what happens when I lose the job is I lose the purpose. Oh, you know what? My purpose is my kids. My purpose are my children. I know that's my purpose, but what happens when my kids go off to college and they get married and they move out? You see, that happened a lot. I lose my purpose. Well, my purpose is our retirement, right? It's our 401k, man. We've been saving and we're ready. And as soon as everything goes wrong, I mean, everybody leaves and we're just going to have fun in our life. I mean, we're going to make a difference. But what happens when the market goes down and we lose it all? And then I lost my purpose. Well, my friends, this friend group I got, this community, man, it's amazing and it's good. But what happens when they move away? What happens when they aren't there anymore? And then I lose my purpose because I'm just kind of grabbing on to anything that I can find. When our purpose is built on God's promises, it's never going to fail. But when it's built on just things that I'm grasping at, things that are around me, things that just happen to be easy for me to get my hands on, we see a lot of times where those don't last. And Nehemiah's prayer here, as he got the bad news, is he's praying to God, he's seeking the Lord on behalf of his friends and his family, and life was good for him, but now he's seeking God for them, and his prayer begins to frame his purpose. Look what he says in verse 10. They're your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and your strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Listen to this. Give your servant success today. Grant him compassion. Listen to this. In the presence of this man. If you're a note taker, underline those two words. This man. Circle those two words. This man. Listen to what he says. His prayer starts to frame his purpose. He went from praying for his people and begging God to forgive him and asking the Lord to do something mighty in their lives. And he says in verse 11, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and that of your servants who delight in revenge. Give your servant success today. Grant him compassion in the presence of this man. Who is this man? Look at the next little sentence there. At the time, I was the king's cupbearer. So this man isn't just any man. He's not talking about himself. This is King Artaxerxes. The same king who, if you go back to the book of Ezra, the same king who just told the Israelites, no, we're not rebuilding that wall. He's the one who kept them from rebuilding. He shut down and he stopped the very project that Nehemiah felt like that was his purpose. And Nehemiah would have to go through him just to begin this process. And so he begins to pray his purpose. God, You've come and you've told me this for a reason, and I'm praying, but God, I got a purpose. I got a higher calling from you, and I know you're calling me to go back and to help my people, and we're going to rebuild this wall, but God, I need you to give me access. Now, this man that I have to go through, this isn't going to be easy, God. Thinking about the king that Nehemiah had to go through, it reminds me that you and I need to go before a king before we ever start understanding our purpose, our why, what's his plan, is we got to go through a good king. A king who wants to build your life and my life on purpose, on his purpose, and have meaning and have a life that will stand the test of time. So it just begs the question as we read this, am I taking my why, am I taking my purpose to the king? We all want to figure it out, right? We all want to, okay, well, I just don't understand it, but I'm going to try to figure it out. And this is me, right? Because I think very black and white, like fair, unfair. Like, this is the lane you tell me to be in. This is the lane I need to be in. And if you're over here, you're wrong. And that's just the way I think, right? And so often in our lives, we try to figure it all out on our own. God, what's my purpose? And show me this and show me that. And it must be this and it must be that. Instead of taking it to the king and allow him to reveal it to us. I think most people would agree that John 3:16 is the most famous, popular verse in all of the Bible. But I would say second, maybe this might just be amongst Christians, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, and 7, right? Most people could quote this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then there's that little part. Do not rely on your own understanding. O King James, do not lean on your own understanding. How often do we, when we're trying to figure out God's plan, God's will, how often do I rely on my own understanding? As a matter of fact, most of us, we won't even take a step until we understand it. We won't even do what God asks us to do until I fully comprehend it. I'm not ready to maybe take some risks just yet because I don't understand it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Okay, I acknowledge him. This is exactly what Nehemiah is doing. And this is the verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There it is again. Don't be wise in my own eyes. It's not about me understanding. It's about taking my purpose to the king. You see, Nehemiah had this divine disturbance in his life, right? And he goes straight to the Lord. He goes straight to the Lord. And I wonder so often, how do you get to that place, right? Because for so many of us in the real world, when something bad happens, what do? We immediately go into like fix-it mode or mom mode or dad mode, and we try to understand it, we try to fix it, and we try to, you know, calculate how did Nehemiah, this guy that everything was going so well in his life, his first response, his first reaction was to get on his face before God. He didn't understand what was happening, right? He didn't have a resolution. He didn't know what the next step was. How is his first reaction to go straight to the Lord? And as I mentioned, we're going to unpack more of Nehemiah's story in the coming weeks, but how did he get there? How do we get to that place when there's a divine disturbance that my first response is to go straight to the Lord? I think it was due to his foundation. I think it was due to his upbringing. His foundation was that he had a trust in God, that no matter what came his way, he could trust God. He could trust that God had a bigger plan, and even if he didn't understand it, even if he didn't see it, he had a foundation. Now let me say this. For some of you in here today, you may say, I trust God. But trusting God is more than a feeling. Trusting God is a choice to have faith in something that you're saying, even when my feelings, even when my circumstances don't necessarily line up, I'm still going to believe. Because let me say this. Your feelings and your circumstances matter. They matter to God. It's a really big deal, and it's worth paying attention to, and God cares about your feelings and your circumstances. But those alone are not enough. They're not reliable enough to base your life on. Why? Because my feelings and my circumstances can change at any moment, but God does not. Right? God does not change. His promises never change. And Nehemiah is reminding God of a promise that he gave years and years ago. Imagine his feelings. Imagine his circumstances. Nehemiah sits there and gets the bad news. Oh, God, he must be mad at them. God's not there, you know. No. He had a foundation of trust. He had a foundation of, I'm going to trust God even though I may not understand it. Because why? He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I believe this, that when a divine disturbance hits, the outcome is based upon the strength of your foundation. When we have those times in our lives where we don't see it, we don't know it, we don't understand it, how does the outcome, you know, come out healthy? How does it come out positive? How does it come out where we got more trust? It's because I have a foundation built on trust. How is your foundation today, church? How's your foundation? The Bible talks a lot about foundation, the houses, and built on rocks and built on sand, and how's your trust? How's your trust? Maybe today you see some cracks in the foundation. You see some cracks in the wall. A few years ago, most of you remember there was a building, an apartment building down in Miami that all of a sudden collapsed, and we woke up and we saw the news about this collapsed building. I ran across this story this week and want to share this. The sounds of great disturbance started around 1 a.m. on the morning of June 24th, 2021. Residents of the 12-story condominium in the Miami suburb of Surfside, Florida, were not sure what they were hearing. As the banging increased in volume, one resident, Sarah Nur, went down to the lobby to see what was going on, just in time to see the guest parking area outside of her building collapse into the garage. I couldn't believe it. I felt like I was watching a movie, Sarah said. Just a few minutes later, at approximately 1:22 a.m., the central and east wings of the Chaplain Towers South, which had stood for nearly 40 years, collapsed in less than 12 seconds, killing 98 people. It's one of the deadliest building failures in modern history. Sad. As they've done research and as they've, you know, looked into this, it wasn't shockwaves of an earthquake, right? It wasn't hurricane winds that blew this down. It wasn't terrorists that did this. The tragedy was the result of several design flaws built right into the building, the foundation that it had held up for 40 years, but it wasn't built to stand the test of time. And one night, it all came crashing down. I just wonder today, in the craziness of our lives, you know, I didn't realize 52-card pickup had so many, like, you know, illustrations in it, but it does. I think about that building crashing down, and it's just crazy, right? Just crazy. Rubble, smoke, ashes, crying, tears, destruction, anger, sadness. I wonder today, maybe as you look at your life, that's what the foundation looks like. Rubble, brokenness, hurt. Let's be honest, man. Like, life's tough, right? And sometimes life can just feel like, man, everything's just crashing down and I don't understand it and it's just hard right now. How is your foundation? Maybe the divine disturbance that you need in your life is right now today. And God's speaking to you, and you need to know today from the Lord that you can rebuild. You can rebuild. Nehemiah went, and in 52 days, he did an amazing thing. That was God's purpose for his life. You can rebuild because you still have a purpose. It's not over. It's not done. You can still do what God's called you to do. The foundation of your faith can be restored. It can be strengthened by going to the King about your purpose. As I mentioned, maybe today you're sitting here and it's not ashes and rubble. It's not complete and utter destruction. But maybe the reality is in your foundation, you're seeing some cracks. There's some relationship struggles. There's some sin struggles. There's some things in my life, and I see some cracks. And honestly, I need to shore these cracks up because my foundation is a little bit shaky. You can be certain today, church, that your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. It's a purpose worth pursuing. Why? Because a life built on purpose will stand the test of time. Just before the collapse of the South Tower, on the sixth floor in Unit 611, a lady named Leanna said she was awakened by a higher power that led her to the living room where she watched a 2-inch crack split the wall in front of her in half. Talk about a divine disturbance. When she left her apartment, she walked out the front door of her home and she had a split-second decision to make. Turn left towards the hallway to the emergency stairwell by the elevators or turn right to the closer and more convenient stairwell. Thankfully, Leanna turned left towards the elevators, a decision that saved her life. Not knowing, she chose to go to the side of the building that was well-built and without a design flaw. And even as the tower collapsed behind her, she safely made it all the way down because every single one of her steps to life and to freedom was taken on a firm foundation. What's your why? What's your purpose? Is it built to last? Is my why built on a firm foundation? I believe that God has a destiny and a purpose for every single individual in this world. And not only that, but God loves you and he wants a relationship with you to guide you along the way. Lean not on your own understanding. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, then that's the first step of developing a firm foundation. If your life feels like it's crumbling, your life feels like it's in destruction, you can still rely on God. Maybe your life feels like it has some cracks. and you need to shore up that foundation today. Whatever it is, let me just encourage you as we, you know, kick off this series and we're celebrating what God's doing. Allow this moment today to be a divine disturbance in your life of God speaking to you, going, hey, I need you to firm up that foundation because I got a purpose for you and there's things to do. There's people to witness to. There's a world that's dying and I need you. What's your why? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you go to work? Why do you live your life? What's God's purpose for my life? Start with that foundation. Let's get to that place that just like Nehemiah, that no matter what comes in our path, our initial reaction, our first response is to go straight to the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to encourage you today to respond. This is between you and Jesus. If God's speaking to your heart, would you just respond? Would you be obedient today? If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, let me tell you, that's where the foundation starts. He is the cornerstone to our lives. If your life's in shambles, it's in destruction, it's in rubble, you need somebody to talk to this morning. You need somebody to pray with you. Our team's here. Would you just be obedient? Father, I love you and I'm so thankful for who you are. Thank you for examples like Nehemiah that, man, sometimes we read and we're just like, man, I don't know if I can do that. But God, we see his strength was not in his self. It wasn't in his feelings. It wasn't in his circumstances, certainly. His trust was in you. God, get us to that place. Get us to that place where our trust in you is above everything else. Show us our purpose, God. I just as Nehemiah had to go through King Artaxerxes to get there, Lord, we help us to go through you. Help us not to go around you or beside, but man, help us to, you lead the way. Let us not lean on our own understanding, what we think, what we feel, but God, give it to you. Help us to be obedient, Lord, as we chase after what you created us to do, what you designed us for. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name, amen. As always, church, if you want somebody to talk with you, pray with you, whatever that looks like, man, we're here. We're here to walk with you on this journey. Our prayer team's here, pastor's here. Whatever we can do to help, we want to be that for you. So, Pastor Brian, come give us some announcements, and then we'll head out.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you,